قال الشيخ ابن باز رحمه الله تعالى في أركان الإسلام، قال: وحج بيت الله الحرام لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا. نعم.
إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. قال الشيخ رحمه الله: وحج بيت الله الحرام لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا.
قال الشارح:
الحج أحد أركان الإسلام. قال تعالى: ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام في خطبه: أيها الناس، إن الله فرض عليكم الحج فحجوا. أخرجه مسلم. وهو واجب والعمرة في
العمر
مرة واحدة. ففي الحديث الصحيح: الحج مرة فمن زاد فرض تكفر. وقد دل على وجود العمرة ما جاء في جوابه صلى الله عليه وسلم لجبريل، قال: الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتحج البيت وتعتمر وتغتسل من الجنابة وتتم الوضوء وتصوم رمضان. أخرجه ابن خزيمة والدارقطني في سنة الصحيح.
وتجب
المبادرة إلى الحج والعمرة. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: تعجلوا إلى الحج يعني الفريضة، فإن أحدكم لا يدري ما يعرض له. رواه أحمد. وروى سعيد بن منصور في سنن عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه أنه قال: لقد هممت أن أبعث رجالا إلى هذه الأمصار وينظروا كل من كان له جدة ولم يحج يضربوا عليهم الجزية. ما هم بمسلمين. ويسن الإسلام من الحج والعمرة مفروعا وفي الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: العمرة كفارة لما بينهما، والحج المفروض ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة.
الحمد لله، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه المصطفى. الشيخ ابن باز رحمه الله تعالى سيد أركان الإسلام في لفظ الإسلام: وحج بيت الله الحرام لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا. أنزل يعني إذكرهم بحديث ابن عمر، حديث جبريل، أنزل حديث وش استبلين في لفظ الإسلام. حج is one of the pillars of Islam. And it is obligatory, as what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Imran: وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ، يعني it is obligatory upon the mankind for Allah to perform Hajj to the house. Which house? It is not any house. It is said here to the house. حج البيت. Which bayt? It is well known that it is يعني the innocent house. The innocent house in Mecca, which is the Kaaba. And to this house, all the prophets and messengers did Hajj. As in the hadith, other hadith, where يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by, for example, passed by a place called Wadi. I forgot Wadi what, but we are going to mention in the following khutbah, inshallah, and not the following, the one after. When he touched and said, when he stopped and said, from here, Wadi al-Azraq, he asked, what valley is that? He said, the valley called al-Azraq. And he said, and it's like I'm watching my brother Musa alayhi salam coming down on a red camel, or a red boar, in fact, he said, raising his voice by Talbiya, going to do the Hajj. And other place he asked, and he said, when they told him that place name, he said, it is like if I'm watching my brother Yunus ibn Makta alayhi salam coming on a camel and raising his voice with Talbiya, going to Makkah for Hajj. And as it said in the hadith that Masjid al-Khayf in Mina, 70 prophets have done qala'il in that place. And we know that the one who renewed the building of Kaaba was Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he did not, he wasn't the one who built it. He was the one who rebuilt it. Rebuilt it. And the foundation was there. And what Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. بَوَّأْنَا means we have shown Ibrahim where the house is or should be. And in the other ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ. Ibrahim was building up the house upon the foundation that is found there. So, whether Ibrahim is the first one who built it or it was built before Ibrahim, it is a long series, and there were many, many prophets from the time of Ibrahim to the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were many, many prophets. As you know that most of the prophets were in Bani Israel. And Bani Israel, whether the Jew or the Christian, they were after Ibrahim. Because Israel himself is the grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, many prophets and messengers did Hajj, performed Hajj to Mecca. And that is why it is called the Anshit House, or the Old House. That is the house. And it is said that in the heavens above this house, above the Kaaba, there is the house called Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. Al-Ma'mur means the one which is never be found empty. That is Ma'mur. Ma'mur is obviously, yani it means tenanted. But it doesn't mean tenanted then. It means that it's the place where never been found empty. As in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, there are 70,000 angels who come to Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur worshipping Allah every day. Every day. And they never come back to it. And they never come back to it. So that's why it is called Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. Means the place where which has never been found and free. Although Al-Masjid Al-Haram on the earth is found and time empty. But Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur is not. So that's why Allah Ta'ala mentions Al-Bayt without adding it to anything else. Without saying what house it is. Allah didn't say Baytullah or Al-Bayt Al-Atiq, or says only وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. Al-Bayt means house. But everyone understands that it is not any house. It is one particular house that is in Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us, and from this ayah of Surah Al-Imran, ayah 97, we understood that it is obligatory because Allah Ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So this is in Arabic, means it is obligatory upon the people for Allah to do the Hajj. But in this ayah, it is said to do Hajj. But how many times? It is obligatory how many times? Is it like Salah? Is it like Siyam? Once every year? Is it like Salah? 5 times a day? What is it? Is it like Zakah whenever you have zakah? Wealth, so you do it once a year? Does it have a time, particular time? Like Ramadan? Does it have, or it is oven like Zakah? Whenever a year is completed and any month you do it? What is it? This is explained in the Sunnah. Such kinds of details you don't find in the Quran, you find in the Sunnah. And that's why it is very important to study the Sunnah. Not only take the Quran, now you have to study the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the hadith of Imam Muslim, in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Isa sallam says, أيها الناس or people, إن الله فرض عليكم الحج بحج. Verily Allah made Hajj obligatory upon you, so perform Hajj. Again, this hadith doesn't tell you when, how many times. Okay. And the other hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, إن الله فرض عليكم الحج الحج مرة فمن زاد فهو تطوع. فمن زاد فهو تطوع. Hajj is obligatory once in one's lifetime. Once in one's lifetime. So if you do more, it is then optional. It's then optional. But it has a lot of rewards. As in the hadith, the Prophet said, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة. فإنهما ينفيان بينهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما تنفي النار خبز الحديد والذهب والفضة. Perform Hajj and Umrah frequently. As Hajj and Umrah remove poorness and sin. Poorness when? In this life. Poorness is not in the other life, not in the after resurrection, after death. Because there is no poorness or richness. Finish. It is either Jannah or fire. But in this life, you may suffer of poorness. You may become poor. So you don't want to be poor. Or if you are poor, you want Allah to remove this from you. Because poorness is bad, it's not good. It's not good. And there is difference between zuhd and poorness and faqr. Zuhd is when you are rich and you give your money to the for the sake of Allah. So you become poor. That is called zuhd. That is due to a heart that is full of iman. But poorness, no, it's an economical situation. You become poor. You work, but you cannot earn enough money. So you want to remove this, so in order not to big people. The one who has zuhd, he would never big people because he had the money and he gave it out. So he doesn't find it, good to go and beg or ask people. But the one who has no money at all is the one who is going to beg. That's why the Prophet ﷺ used to seek protection from poorness. From poorness. So if you want poorness to be removed from you or you be away from poorness, then do as much umrah as you can, as much hajj as you can. But when you say as much hajj as you can, perhaps you are not allowed to disobey the rulers. When they say every 5 years, you have to stop doing it يعني before that. By illegal way. But if you go legally, even before that, that is okay. When we say legally, you take the permission. You get the permission from the government to go do the Hajj. But to go to Mecca with your clothes and make a ham there or after the checkpoint in Tunisia, that is not allowed. And you are in sin. You are in sin. Simply because the government did not do that, did not say that, except to make Hajj easy for the people. Make the Hajj easy for the people. So if everyone goes without permission, he's going to stay under bridges, he's going to stay in the way of people, and then it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult. So it has to be understood. Umrah is obligatory once in one's lifetime, as well as the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that Islam is to be witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and then you perform salah, give out zakah, and do hajj and umrah, and clean yourself from janabah, and make your wudu perfect and pass Ramadan. This hadith is reported by Ibn Khuzaymah and Dharqutni. So Hajj and Umrah is obligatory once and one's lifetime. If you are able to do Hajj, the obligatory Hajj, you do not postpone this next year, next year, next year. No, it's not allowed. You have to do it immediately once you are able to. Once you are able financially, once you are able officially, by getting the permission, then you have to. And also, if you are able, in health, if you are healthy, you are not so ill to limits that you cannot travel. Then, if the doctors, medicine doctors say that you are not allowed to be in crowd, you are not allowed to travel this much, you are not allowed to be in dusty places or like that, and this can put you in a very dangerous health situation, then if you are in that case, you are exempt. But other than that, you got to go and do Hajj immediately, once you are able to. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, as in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, reported by Imam Ahmad, he said, تَعَجَّلُ الْحَجَّ تَعَجَّلُ الْحَجَّ. Make Hajj as soon as possible you are able to. Do Hajj as soon as possible you are able to. Meaning, the year that you are able to do Hajj, you have to do it. And this is the Hajj which is obligatory, not any Hajj. Why? Because Isa said, فَإِنَّ حَجَكُمْ لَا يَجِي مَا يَعْلِمُ لَهُ. Because one of you doesn't know what will happen from now until the next Hajj, the next year. You don't know. You might become poor, you might die, you might become, you might be paralyzed, whatever it is that makes you unable to. So, once you are able, you have to go. Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, he said, as it is reported in the Sunan of Sa'id ibn Mansur, he said, I was about to send messengers to all the Muslim lands to check those who are able to do Hajj and they don't do. Then they deal with them like the Yahud and Nasara. Take jizya from them. And then he said, Ma'um bi Muslimin. They're not Muslim. Why? Because it doesn't mean the one who doesn't do Hajj is not Muslim. But here it's a very, very severe warning. It's a warning. Can you go check the food? Oh, no, it doesn't. Why we said that it is not any kufr? Because the Prophet the Prophet said that who dies before doing the Hajj, then his relatives got to do Hajj for him. His children, his brothers, his uncles, his nephews, his sisters, his niece, anyone. And for sure, man can do Hajj for woman and woman can do Hajj for man if they are not able to. And as we said that it is recommendable to do Hajj very frequently as it is a removal of poorness and sin. And also in the other hadith the Prophet said Al-Umrah to Al-Umrah kaffara lima baynahuma. Umrah to Umrah is the cause of forgiveness for all the sins before it, between them. والحج المبرور, حج المبرور, the perfect حج, ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة, ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. What does الحج المبرور mean? الحج المبرور is the perfect حج. But those people who go to حج illegally, it's not مبرور from the beginning. It's not mabrur. He would be given reward, but not as it is in the hadith, illa al-jannah. What does this hadith mean, illa al-jannah? It means, if he dies right after Hajj, he's not going to be Christian. He's going to get to the Jannah. That is, if the Hajj is mabrur, perfect. But if he starts Hajj with illegal ways, then it is not mabrur. So if he dies, he's going to be rewarded for Hajj, but not forgiveness of all the sins. I mean, except if Allah Ta'ala can will to forgive. But if you want to be given this great reward, then you have your Hajj perfect. Even if you've done Hajj many years or every year, make it legal. Make it legally. There are many ways. For example, this year you go yourself. Take the permission and go. The rule says you cannot do Hajj next year until 5 years. It's bad. But if you accompany your wife, your sister, your daughter, some of your female relatives, it's allowed. So you can do it this year yourself, next year with your wife, year after with one of your daughters, like that, your aunt. So it is legal. It's permitted. No. It's not going to be given until 5 years. You only as a mahram for them. Yeah. They give you permission to do Hajj. Not in behalf of them. I mean, if your wife, last year, you did Hajj. Now this year, you are not allowed to do Hajj until 5 years, okay? But your wife wants to do Hajj. She didn't do Hajj before. Or she did before, this rule comes, took place. So now, you want to accompany her. They give you permission as well as her. You apply for you and her. Yeah. But you arrive a mahram. They will allow. So next year, your daughter. Year after, and that's why we encourage men to marry more than one. And marry four, so you can do it 5 times. Every year. First year for you alone, leave your four wives. next year, your first wife. And you have to be fair. So first, your first wife. And the other wife have to cooperate with this wife and take care of the children. And then second wife, third wife, the fourth wife. So you can continue after that. The sixth year you take your daughter and the life. So every time you are leaving. But if you have only one wife, then you have a problem. You have a problem. And if you are somebody who have boys, children, you have sons, you don't have girls like Tawfiq, you're going to face a big problem. Because you are not allowed to be a mahram for your boy. No mahram for your son. So you're not going to be given permission. I'm sure now sisters are going to be upset of this thing. But this is the truth. This is the truth now. We will come to the conditions, inshallah. We will come to the conditions, inshallah. Just mention it generally. So what I mean, Hajj Mabrur is the perfect Hajj. From the beginning to the end. Permission. Doing the Hajj on Sunnah. You have to learn how to do the Hajj on Sunnah. You don't just go like that and see what the people do. Or you say, okay, the group must have a guide. The guide might not be somebody who knows the Hajj on Sunnah. So you have from before that to go there. And as well as learning the procedure of Hajj, not only from the Sharia side, even from the way how you can do it easily there. There is a tape, there is a videotape that is distributed by the Ministry of Hajj, shows the mistakes and the danger mistakes and how to do Hajj perfect. Before going to Hajj, you take that tape and see, watch it. Watch the movie of Hajj. Read about Hajj from the books like Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, the Sunan, or Hajj for Sheikh Ibn Baz, Hajj for Sheikh Uthaymeen, Hajj for Sheikh Albani, and the like. There are a lot of books of Hajj, and there is a book of Hajj for the Ministry of Islamic Affairs. So you learn about that before you go. You learn. And learn about anything expected. What to do in this kind of situation. Your wife should learn, or the sister anyway, should learn what to do if she had menses during the Hajj. If she is pregnant, what should she do? Should she go to Hajj or not? And what she, what is permissible for her to delegate the authority of it to someone else to do it. Stoning, for example. Because some people think that the woman or the old person can't have anybody else to do some of the Hajj rituals in behalf of him or her. Like Tawaful Ifadah. They cannot do that because Tawaful Ifadah is obligatory upon every Hajj. Every person is doing Hajj. So the lie, we have to learn. We have to learn. We cannot go to Hajj having no perfect knowledge of how to perform Hajj. And then, and also you need to learn, you don't only learn from one school of fiqh. There are many different schools of fiqh. Okay, you have to learn these schools. Or you go to somebody you trust and ask him before Hajj. One school says that if you stone, if you remove your ihram before sunset, and we did not stand until sunset, then you have to put on your ihram till the next day. Okay, some other schools say no, it is allowed. So, I mean, these issues and other issues, for example, one school says that it is allowed to stone before the Zenith time. And some other school says, no, you cannot stone until the sun passes the Zenith. So you have to learn these differences. So you are not confused in Hajj. Because you see even some Salafis there are such, they are confused. What to do? People doing this, people doing this. And every time people come and ask, even Salafis, what to do? Should I go now? Should I? My friend went. My friend said that some Mufti said this, some Mufti said that. And you have to be prepared before you go. Because in Hajj, you will hear a lot of sayings. Many shahad in Hajj. Even the Baba makes shahad there. Everyone makes shahad there. So you have to be prepared well. Before you get to the exam hall, in the school, in the college, you have to be prepared. So you're coming to great, great worship. You have to be prepared. We don't need this much of guys in Hajj. If the people prepare themselves before Hajj. But unfortunately, the people just go like it's a journey. They're going to enjoy there, and then they get stuck. They see somebody stone now, somebody say, I will stone later, so with whom I go? And they start looking for somebody to tell them. And they will accept even the chef in the kitchen or the barber in the barber shop. The driver sometimes maybe a Turkish arrogant driver coming from Turkey doesn't know anything about Hajj. They may only ask him, and some may come outside Mina, they don't have any knowledge about that. We have to learn about that. We have to learn before we come to Hajj. And inshallah ta'ala, we will continue on the following Friday. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi.